It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey, what's going on, folks? It's another edition of the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix presented by Daily Joust. Good Monday going out to ya, as we are the week of the FanDuel Fantasy Football Championship, so we'll be talking about that as the week goes on. Of course, if you haven't listened to the podcast, we are actually going to be out there on Saturday and Sunday for the event, so we'll be doing a live podcast. Well, not really live, because you can't do the podcast quote-unquote live, but we call it on location from the FanDuel Fantasy Football Championships out in Vegas. So that's a pretty exciting event that we'll be covering. But usually on Mondays, what we do is we go over our picks from the weekend, and it was a mixed bag for sure. So we'll go over how we did, also tell you about all the top performers. Tonight, there's not really much going on in the world of daily fantasy game-wise. NHL, you got five games going on, so you can get some decent enough action there, enough players to choose from. In college basketball, only a handful of games over on Joust. I think they only have four college hoops games tonight, and FanDuel is taking the night off since they require two major conference schools to have matchups being played, so they're not going to have anything tonight, but they'll be back in action as the week goes on. So pretty light night, so let's just do some recap of what happened this weekend.
Okay, Banks! Ready? Hot! Come on, Banks! You're supposed to be hitting the sled, not humping up out of the line!
And it was most definitely an ugly weekend for me in college football. My goodness, on Daily Joust, I kind of maybe broke even, maybe even lost a little bit on Joust. But on Draft Street, it might have been my worst week of daily fantasy ever. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, I play a lot of leagues, especially for football or college football. I play a lot of leagues. And usually, you know, even on your bad week, you break even because you'll run into some fish along the way who don't know what they're doing. And even when you have a bad team, you can beat them. Or, you know, the salaries over there are pretty even, where it's to the point where a lot of times, you know, you can have a good team and you'll win some and you'll lose some just based on how even all the salaries are. But this week on Draft Street, I got murdered, folks. I mean, I'm not talking about just losing a game or two. I lost every game I played in every tournament, multi-tournament, you know, 6-man, 10-man, 32-man. I finished last. That's right. The nice $50 college football tournament that I love to play over there. Guess who got dead last in that tournament? Yours truly. Yeah. Pretty much ridiculously embarrassing number one. Major shot to the bankroll number two. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by what I'm about to say right now as I go through these picks. But you know what? That's the wonders of the podcast. I try to be accountable for what I say. So let's go through them. Quarterbacks, I liked Brandon Whedon. His team could score 40 points, but he couldn't throw a touchdown pass. Zero touchdown passes for him. Great job. For 217 yards total. I did give you Taj Boyd, who definitely paid himself off. 240 yards, three touchdowns, 28 rushing yards with one rushing touchdown. As for our guest judge today, we're going to go the hodgepodge. We're just going to go through and use all, you know, people from all sorts that have come in and judged our picks from the past. So what did they think of my quarterback pick?
Excuse me, but I do believe that sucks ass.
Yeah, it's inexcusable. Brandon Whedon, just absolutely mind-boggling. Him and Landry Jones with a combined zero touchdown passes in that game. An over-under of 78 points to open up. And the quarterbacks combined for zero touchdowns. Can you hear the frustration in my voice? Yeah, it was ugly. And that did me in on a lot of places. Top performers of the weekend was Robert Griffin III. 320 yards, two touchdowns on through the air. 32 rushing yards, two touchdowns on the ground. And Austin Davis of Southern Miss, 279 with four touchdowns, 47 rushing yards. Running backs, David Wilson of Virginia Tech. I liked him, and he went for 31 yards. A guy who had gone over 100 yards in every game but two, and knows he was pretty darn close, 31 yards against a terrible Clemson defense. And Malcolm Brown, my other pick, didn't even play. So yeah, that's just kind of gives you an idea how this week went for me.
They just played sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Totally despicable. And here's some advice for the bowl games. Just take Monte Ball. I don't care what he costs. 137 yards, 4 touchdowns for the Wisconsin running back. Joseph Randall had a nice game there for Oklahoma State, 151 and 2 touchdowns. Wide receivers I liked. Kenny Stills, Jazz Reynolds. Kenny Stills, 63 yards. Jazz Reynolds, 23 yards. Combined, they couldn't get 100 yards. In a game with an over-under of 78 points. Justin Blackmon, 95 yards, 0 touchdowns. So, yeah, as you can see, that game didn't help my cause this week. The one guy who did well, Sammy Watkins, 5 for 80 and a touchdown and 55 rushing yards. So I hate to do it, but tell me about it.
Oh, no!
Totally embarrassing. The Big Ten Championship, those were the players you wanted to take. B.J. Cunningham of Michigan State, 115 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. Tracy Lampley of Southern Miss, 125 yards through the air and 2 touchdowns to go along with 71 rushing yards, your top wide receivers. Tight end this week, I gave you Orson Charles, 4 for 42 from the tight end position. That's about as much as you can ask for. So yeah, good enough. Top performer was Dwayne Allen of Clemson, 2 touchdown passes and 32 yards receiving. Team defenses, Kansas State against Iowa, 7 points in a game that was played in like a monsoon with, you know, it was delayed. The weather was so crappy and Iowa State was still able to score in that game. Go figure. So that was a losing proposition. The top performing defenses, LSU, no surprise there, and Cincinnati. So it was an ugly week in college football. And on top of that, of course, the BCS announced we're going to have a rematch between Alabama and LSU. You know, they're probably the two best teams. I'm not going to deny that. But there's still something to be said about do you really want to see a rematch? Considering these teams have already played, and Oklahoma State, yeah, they lost to Iowa State, but they also beat the pants off of pretty much everybody else they played this season. I honestly think they deserved a shot. I think Alabama had their chance. I think Alabama should have won that game, and they didn't. And now you've got a team who didn't even win their own conference, who didn't even win their own division, playing for the national championship. I don't like it. And I've been preaching this since, it's got to be going on almost 8-9 years. The playoff in college football, it is absolutely mind-boggling that this thing, it hasn't happened yet. The good news is scenarios like this are just going to lead to it to happening. And unfortunately, what I think is going to happen is they're going to go to a +1 format. They're just going to add an extra game, which, believe me when I say this, is better than nothing. But to me, I think you got to expand it to an 8-team playoff because I still think that you're going to be going to a computer system to decide, you know, who's the third and fourth team. I mean, if there's 5 teams with one loss, how are you really going to decide? Now, my feeling is on this. You lose 2 games, it doesn't matter. You know, you lose 2 games, you're in the fate of the computers. And in most cases, when you have to decide who the 7th, 8th teams would be in an 8-team tournament, hey, too bad. You don't like it, you should win your games. But in a 4-man tournament, you're still going to have a lot of teams with same records, and I don't think it's going to necessarily solve the problem completely. But with that said, you start small, and then maybe you expand bigger. So, national championship game, it's going to be a boring, low-scoring game. Alabama, I think, is going to win personally. As for the Heisman Trophy, which should be coming up here in a few weeks, boy, I think the best player in the country is Trent Richardson. I don't know if he's going to win it. I think there's a lot of momentum for Robert Griffin III of Baylor. And if you look at his numbers and you look at the defense that he has to overcome, I mean, he basically has to put points up because his team needs to survive these games, not because they're blowing people out. They're blowing the competition out. And I think there's a lot to be said for Robert Griffin III, because I think if you take him away from that team, they falter. I don't think the same can be said for Trent Richardson. I don't think the same can be said for Monte Ball. And I don't think, to a certain extent, you can even say it for Andrew Luck. And I'll say Andrew Luck is the one guy I don't want to see win this trophy, because I think he's getting way too much hype in that he's being the best NFL prospect in the last decade. which is fine. If he is, that's great. But that should have nothing to do with the Heisman Trophy when Matt Barkley was probably a better quarterback than him in his own conference this year. So for me, if Robert Griffin III wins, I can live with it. Trent Richardson would probably be my second pick because I think he's the best player. But the numbers Monte Ball put up this year, you can't ignore them. I mean, if any of those three guys won, I could live with it. If it's Andrew Luck, I'm going to be kind of frustrated. So that's some take on some college football. Let's move on now to the NFL.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game.
And for as bad as my weekend was in college football, I went all in. You know how it is, like you have a bad week, gambling on NFL football games on Sunday. So you let it all ride and you try to win it all back on Monday night. Well, that's kind of what I did with college football. I lost my butt on college football. So I said, you know what, let's just let it ride on the NFL. And I'm glad I did because the NFL turned out pretty good for myself. So let's go through these picks and redeem myself after a bad Saturday. Eli Manning against the Packers. I liked him and he came through. 347, three touchdowns, and offenses continue to just put up huge passing yards against that Packers defense. The other guy was Tony Romo, went for almost 300 yards and a touchdown, but was hoping for about two more touchdowns in that game. So one really good, one, not so hot. Let's see what you think.
Tua!
Yeah, I'll take it. Even though Romo, I was a little disappointed with that performance. But Cam Newton, boy, who didn't see this one coming? I mean, I should have been on Newton more than I was, which was not at all. 204 yards through the air, one touchdown, and 54 rushing yards with three TDs on the ground. The Buccaneers' defense is soft. They are so incredibly soft. So whoever they play is probably going to have a good game. And Aaron Rodgers continues, even during a bad game, has a good game. 369, four touchdowns, and 32 rushing yards for the Packers QB, who is putting up probably the most insane season I've seen ever. And I think he's better than Brady was a few years ago when he had that insane season with Randy Moss. So Aaron Rodgers is just sick right now. Running back position, yeah, I got burned like everybody else. LeGarrette Blount, 19 rushing yards against the worst rush defense in football in Carolina. So, yeah, that sucked. But I hit my other one, Roy Helu against the Jets, 100 yards on the ground and a touchdown. What are you going to tell me how I turned out here?
That is incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Everybody was off on Blount, so I didn't feel like I screwed up that bad. Helu was a little bit off the board going against a tougher Jets defense. But speaking of the Jets, Sean Green, 88 yards and three touchdowns out of nowhere, has a huge game. Chris Johnson, looking like the Chris Johnson of old, 153, two touchdowns. That's back-to-back weeks he's gone off. And Ray Rice, I played him in quite a few leagues, and he paid off, 204 on the ground with a touchdown. Wide receivers, Greg Jennings against the Giants, 7 for 94 and a TD. Mike Williams against Carolina, 5 for 93. That's pretty decent. And on Draft Street and FanDuel, my super sleeper was Devin Aromashadu against Denver. And for the super cheap price, he came through. 6 receptions, 90 yards. So I finally hit on a super sleeper. And that's a super, super sleeper. So I better ask how I did.
This is so f***ing good.
Yeah, I did pretty good. I'm pretty happy with those. They really paid off well. Top performer was Percy Harvin, 156 and two touchdowns. As talk about a guy stepping up since Peterson went out. Man, he's had a couple of huge weeks. And Pierre Garçon, 150 and two touchdowns against that terrible New England secondary. I mean, Dan Orlovsky went for like 300 yards and two or three touchdowns in that game. So continue to play the quarterback who's playing the Patriots. And if I'm not mistaken, that quarterback might be Tim Tebow next week. So that'll be interesting to see how he does there. Moving on to the tight end, JerMichael Finley. Liked him, and he finally performed to what the expectations most of us has had going into this season. 6 for 87 and a touchdown. And Brandon Pettigrew, he stunk. Two receptions, 13 yards. So all in all, what do you have to say?
Kick ass.
Yeah, I definitely like Finley more than Pettigrew. Pettigrew was more of a really, depending on what site you were on price-wise, but Finley was pretty cheap around, so I went him in most places. But the Gronkowski man is just a beast, and he continues to just put up mind-boggling numbers, 64 yards, two touchdowns, and should have had a third, but they called it a rushing touchdown. So he even got one on the ground. So Rob Gronkowski, just a monster game from him as he continues to perform. Team defenses, the Chargers, I like them against the Jacksonville Jags tonight. Hopefully they perform well. I got Them riding on plenty of teams going still this weekend. And the 49ers and the Rams, I like the Niners, and guess what they did? They shut out the Rams, which isn't a surprise when they have a backup quarterback. And, well, they can't even score with their first-string quarterback. So if you paid for them, they definitely paid themselves off this week. And the top defenses besides the 49ers were the Chiefs and the Steelers. And it will be interesting to see what Chicago does. The Bears have to make a play at McNabb. Caleb Haney is not the answer. If you want any chance of making the playoffs, you gotta go with somebody who, you know, at least has some experience. I know he's been terrible. I know Christian Ponder beat him out, but here's the thing. Ponder hasn't looked that bad, and I know McNabb was really, really awful early on, but he can't be worse than Caleb Haney. So I'll be very interested to see if the Bears decide to make a play for McNabb. He's not going to cost much, and I think he gives you a better chance of at least making the playoffs. So that's going to do it for our look at the NFL from this weekend. I want to take a quick moment to say thank you to my good friends at Daily Joust. Pretty cool thing they had going on this weekend, and I'm sure they're going to continue it next week, are some single-entry tournaments. That's right, some of the sites do this, but Daily Joust, I think this was the first weekend they put together some single-entry NFL tournaments. So a way for you to get into a larger field tournament, but you don't have to worry about guys loading up five or six teams. So I like the concept. I played in it and didn't do great, but definitely we'll give it a try down the road. Of course, college basketball, they're the one site that's running it pretty much every single night. I'll say this much, their solo contests are kind of tough for college hoops. I usually like playing them when you've got those guaranteed big-time 20 to 25-point scorers out there. Then it seems a little bit easier to hit. But if you want to play the solos, hockey, lots of people are winning money nightly in their NHL solos, of course. Big Northern Lights tournament for the NHL, I think, coming up tomorrow. So definitely make sure you go over there for all your daily fantasy action. They're a great sponsor here of the podcast, and they're dailyjoust.com. And with that, that's going to wrap up the podcast here for us this Monday. We'll return again tomorrow talking more daily fantasy. Again, not a whole lot going on tonight out in the world of daily fantasy, but that doesn't matter. Lots of stuff to talk about come tomorrow on the podcast. So thank you again for checking us out, and subscribe to us on iTunes, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. See ya.